I'm Robert Sparrow, and I'm with two LSU Sand Tigers. That's right. I've got Kristen Nuss and Taryn Cloth here on the Viral Volley Podcast, and it's truly an honor to have repeat guests because it means they actually kind of like me. So I'm excited, and I found out that Ashlyn Resnick-Pope also lives with them and has been video bombing in the background, and all three of them were on my show March 27th of 2020. So thanks again for coming on the Viral Volley Podcast, ladies.
Thanks for having us.
Hey, I've been tracking your season, even though we're in a pandemic season or COVID conference or whatever you want to call it this year. There hasn't been a whole bunch of volleyball going on, but for you two, a lot has been happening because since June, you've had quite the run on tournaments, essentially winning every tournament that you've played in. 10 local tournaments, 2 AVP Next events, with one of them being an AVP Next Gold event. What have been your keys to success during these last few months of this pandemic?
The fact that we both just can't sit still and we always want to play more volleyball and find something to do, that has really gotten us going. And whenever there's a available beach volleyball tournament, I mean, we are looking to sign up immediately. And I guess I just have so much fun playing that it's not really like, it's something that I look forward to almost every single weekend that we can play.
Yeah, I think we definitely both just like love volleyball. So just like, we were just like in, like during COVID, we were like, we want to get out. We want to go play. So we were just like, any tournament that's available, we want to go. Like during when we had a quarantine, we share the same bedroom. Our beds are like less than 6 feet apart. And we would like pepper back and forth across the beds. Like that's just how much we like love volleyball. We wanted to like touch the volleyball, just get some peppering in across the beds. I think that just shows that both of us really are like passionate about this sport.
Well, you got to come clean, Kristen. I mean, Taryn, she's a blocker. Can she really play defense?
Yeah. I don't know.
I have to take advantage.
I would totally let her defend. I just don't think she wants me to block. So
we split block sometimes.
Yeah. She can make some pretty nice ups.
I will say Kristen is a million times better back there than me. No question. I will admit it 100%.
I will definitely blocking the table. That is for sure.
Send me the video of you guys split blocking. I want to see Kristen at the net.
Be surprised. She's gotten some blocks.
All right. Hey, you know, so in those particular AVP Next events, there weren't any softball matches. I mean, there were some quality names competing. Some collegiate beach standouts were in there, like in the final of Atlantic City, which is a July 31st, August 1st, Katie Horton and Carly Kahn in the final. But, I mean, it was an intense match. I was watching your Facebook live feed, Kristen, and you guys looked really good. Why were you guys able to just, it looked like you marched through that tournament?
I think it's just like credit, like we literally, the chemistry that we have is honestly just because we spend like every single minute together. So I think that chemistry is what translate onto the court. Like we just kind of feed off each other. Like we know what the other person's going to do and it just kind of like flows, honestly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will admit the first game, I don't think I could breathe. Like I was so nervous because it was my first event ever and I'm pretty new relatively like to how much everybody else at the tournament had played. So I was just really nervous and she can just call me down. She's like, hey, you need to actually take in oxygen into your body and like stop freaking out.
Yeah, it was our very, so in Atlantic City, that was Taryn's like first like big AVP tournament because she's been playing indoors. So never really done the beach side of things. And our very first game, the first like 10 points, you could just see she was like so stressed and like nervous. And I was like, Taryn, you can breathe. Like, it's all right. And then ever since then, she's just fine. But as far as like people, like top names that we've played so far, it's funny because like she really doesn't know any of the names because she doesn't play. So as far as like going into the tournament, I'm like, oh yeah, we'll be fine because she has no idea who we're playing. So then after the tournament, I'm like, hey, Taryn, do you know who we just played? And then I'll like give her the rundown of the people. And she's like, no way.
That is actually, I just watch them play and I'm like, wow, they're really good. I just enjoy watching volleyball play.
So you're living evidence that ignorance is bliss.
Yeah. Well,
so the next AVP Next event was the October 10th and 11th. I believe that was Hayden Beach in Tennessee. Another incredible performance with even bigger names. I mean, I don't think you know them, Taryn. I'm sure Kristen does, but Kelly Kalinske, Emily Stockman in the final, Delaney Moore, Katie Spieler. And Kelly and Emily are playing really good ball, and we saw that at the AVP Champions Cup. Delaney and Katie just won their first big event, and you guys beat them. You know, what was the ingredient that is, again, is that chemistry? I mean, there hasn't the skills level of all those squads. They've been training full time. I mean, that's their career, and you're still in college with pursuing an education, but you're able to be competitive. What I mean, what was your attitude going into those matches, knowing who you're playing?
As far as attitude
for Taryn, but for you, Kristen,
I didn't tell Taryn who they were until after. I was like, Taryn, do you know who we just beat? Like, she was like, no, who? But so as far as going into the, as far as the attitude going in, I was like, Taryn, like, let's just play our game. Like, let's just, if we play our game, we'll be good. And I think as far as like us playing those caliber of teams and performing well, I think it's a credit to our coaching staff at LSU. Like, the way we are trained, the way we play is for sure, I want to give all credit to them because they're the only ones who have taught me how to play this sport. And
then you have to think about the people that we play every single day. So you talked about like Ashlyn. Mm-hmm. Scoring on Ashlyn or Kelly or any of our defenders, you know, it's just going to be so tough. Or like our enormous blockers. Like we had Jess last year. We have Claire. Mm-hmm. We have Tony. Like it's just endless. So when you get to play against those people every single day, I mean, that is just like the level that you expect. And mm-hmm. then you just have to like find a way to win. Like that's pretty much.
Yeah, I definitely think collegiate beach volleyball is definitely making the game grow and competition better. Because again, like she said, every single day in practice, you were playing against some top notch people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Every single day.
Well, you know, seeing those Facebook live streams of you competing in all these tournaments, actually even some of the smaller ones, it's just great to see that you guys are staying on your game and just the chemistry you have on the court. Because from a surgical standpoint, you surgically took teams apart. Your mechanics and your fundamentals are incredible off your transition, serving, blocking. And I could see what you're doing because that volleyball dweeb in me, I could see what you're doing at least from a strategy standpoint. And Taryn, good funneling of the ball towards Kristen and great transition putaways and tough serving. It's like you guys didn't miss a step, even though COVID technically closed down our society. Any comment on how you kept on your game during the off times?
When we were at home for quarantine, we both left. Well, actually, like our entire team left in March when they ended our season, and they're like, okay, this is it. Probably go home. Everything's going to shut down. I know that every single day I wanted to hand set the next year. So every single day for about 30 minutes, I would set back and forth like my sister or somebody. Mm-hmm. That would just make them play with me. And then just like focusing on nutrition and working out as much as I could, whatever was open, even if it was going outside. I ran in the freezing cold in South Dakota, just back and forth on the sand courts that we have, and they're brand new. And I mean, just finding ways to be able to do whatever you can.
Yeah, I definitely like during the whole initial COVID when we had a stay at home order and everything in Louisiana, I like focused. I was like, all right, this is a perfect time for me to focus on my nutrition mm-hmm. and just get that right. And then like she said, I would like make my brother Jordan, I'd be like, come on, we're going to Pepper. Like, I just need to like touch the volleyball or do something. Or like, I got a piece of like plywood and I like put it up against a tree. It was just like peppering by myself, just like any way to get like touches on the ball. Mm-hmm. Just really took advantage of that time, honestly.
Good for you guys. I mean, I know that you had posted some video during the, I guess, over the summer months of you peppering with a family member. Felt sorry for them because they were missing all the balls, but anything you had to do to get those touches, right? Let's go back to the 2020 season, and you know, the final record is a shortened 2020 season. Your team went 12-2 with a final AVCA beach ranking of number one. Was 2020 going to be the year for a Sandy Tiger National Championship?
I think it was. I'll make that the bold statement. I definitely think it was. I think we all, just as a team, like collectively, like we just felt it. Like we knew it. Even after that first weekend of we lost our first two games, I think even like, I think that honestly helped us, because at that dinner, we were just like, whoa, like we kind of got a little like slap in the face that first day. And then it was just like, boom, all right, let's fight back. Like we don't want this again. And I really think that like was gonna help us throughout the rest of the season. But there was just a different feeling, like compared to the years, the like previous years, there was just this like calm, like, we're gonna do this. Like we were confident. We definitely had the confidence, and we knew we were gonna go make it happen.
Well, you know, after those two losses, actually, it was one of my questions, but it spurned an 11 dual winning streak for you and Claire, a couple of your partner, and it was pretty apparent that something lit a fire. And I'd hate to be a team that faced you after those two duels. So I got to bounce over to Taryn though, because she finished 14-0 in 2020, 13-0 with Kelly Agnew, and 1-0 with Natalie Martin, which I was going to ask you, how'd you end up with just one win with Natalie? But I mean, every single one of your matches was straight set victories in the number four spot. What made you so successful?
It definitely makes it easier when you have, like I said before, incredible defenders behind you. I mean, you can just trust that they're going to be there, trust that they are going to dig every single ball. All you have to do is set them, and then they go and finish the point off. So I would definitely say being able to play with anybody on our team and just trusting that they're going to be able to get the job done, it makes it a lot easier.
Well, the one match or one duel you played with Natalie Martin, how did that all come about?
It was so much fun. We were at home and we got to play together. Our coaches told us, and we were like, heck yeah, let's go. And we just went out there, and she was a freshman. And so it was just really fun to be able to like play with her for her first collegiate match. And we had so much fun, and we still talk about it sometimes.
I thought it was like a Rochambeau. Who gets to play with a freshman and you lost?
No, it was so much fun. I'm serious. It was awesome.
Well, next question for you both. And I'm curious, because as an outsider, I can see something special is happening there. But it's really apparent that Coach Russell Brock has created something very special in Baton Rouge and is drawing some top caliber talent. What makes your team so special and a draw for these people? We kind of talked about in the volleyballmag.com interview, but I'll try and be more specific here on this response here.
I think it's the emphasis that the coaches put on the culture of our team. Like, yes, like winning games is great, but I think actually like caring for your teammates, that like genuine care and love for each other that the coaches really put an emphasis on, I think, is what really helps us and what kind of sets us apart from other programs. And that's in my opinion.
Yeah, I would just say two things. The culture of LSU in general, especially within the athletic department, everybody is supporting everybody. That is a huge factor for me. And then my second one would just be the entire team. Like how much I was welcomed and just loved within like one day. Like you can just tell that they're just like such great people. And even the coaches, like the players, that you, if you surround yourself with amazing people, you're just going to have a great experience.
Excellent. Well, you know, moving out, you actually had alluded to it in an earlier response about the culture of not only the team at LSU, but just around you, the atmosphere. But I watched a couple duels online at your new stadium, and no doubt you've got a phenomenal stadium. And on top of that, you've got another phenomenal following. The fans lining the grass berms around the stadium. And I noticed there are bleachers up on top of a building where fans are watching from. It is all over the place. It's almost like a big concert happening there. Can you talk about the just the whole LSU beach volleyball vibe?
I think the biggest thing was coming from indoor. When my parents come and watch me, they're like, whoa, this is so cool. Like, everybody's just hanging out on the beach and, well, the beach, the sand, and hanging out in the grass, and we have food trucks, and people are just hanging out and having a good time, and you get to watch amazing volleyball. Like, there is absolutely nothing better. The weather was so beautiful. The sun is out, and you just get to hang out with your favorite people.
Anytime people talk about the stadium and just the environment, I can't help but go back to the night we played UCLA, the number one versus number two showdown. Mm-hmm. Just seeing that stadium just packed full of people, like, I feel like it doesn't even do it justice to explain it, because, like, you just had to, like, be there or see it, because that feeling and that environment was just so surreal. I still, like, look back on that night, I'm just like, wow, that night far exceeded my expectation, because I was like, I think people are going to come to this game. But then as it started getting closer and closer to game time, people just started filling in, piling in. Like, I didn't even think our stadium could hold that many people. Yeah. And just the fact that we set like the NCAA record for attendance for beach volleyball, like, mm-hmm. that, it was just so crazy and surreal and just awesome.
Well, I can tell you, whoever is running your Instagram feed for LSU Beach, I love the sunset photos of the stadium, and somehow they get that perfect filter to create a purplish color and a yellow color. I'm like, oh gosh, that's a draw right there.
Yeah.
I'll have to put that on my bucket list, hopefully to be an MC host at a duel at that stadium, because that just looks so excellent to be in, and just a rock and roll vibe.
Oh yeah.
Let's shift over. I know that we talked about this in the March interview that I had with you two and Ashlyn, but when the season prematurely ended due to COVID, what were your responses and what did the coaching staff tell the team?
Ooh, we all had a meeting at the stadium, and we were in there talking about, like, the precautions that we would have to take and how we were going to get through this. And then there was just, like, a change, and we found out that the season was being canceled completely. And I think just the look around the entire room and the feeling, like, everybody just started crying, because we just wanted to be there so bad. We wanted to compete. We didn't want this to end our season. We were having so much fun. So my reaction was, obviously, I was just so devastated, because that was going to be, like, I was done with college for forever. Like, we didn't know that we would be able to come back. So for it to just end like that, that was tough. And then I think the next day, we were all hanging out with each other. Well, Ashlyn actually put her bed in the living room so we could all, like, lay together and, like, watch movies and eat snacks. And we were just so sad. I'll never forget that. That was terrible, but you're still mm-hmm. surrounded with great people that it was like, we don't want to leave each other. That was the feeling.
Yeah, it was definitely, for sure, I would say heartbreaking. Like, that was for sure the word, because I really thought, I was like, this is it. Like, I don't get to represent these three letters anymore. Like, this could be done. Like, will I ever put an LSU uniform on again? Like, will I ever get to compete for a national championship? Just, like, all those things just being, like, all of a sudden, like, you're, like, ready, you're, like, fighting for this, and then just be like, boom, that, it's done. Like, mm-hmm. it was just a lot to process, but again, just having each other, we were just like, we don't want to be apart. Like, can we just always be together? We were just like, anytime, we're like, let's just hang out. Like, we need to be together. Yeah.
I remember Tony, Jess, and I, we found out when we were in the parking lot of Winn-Dixie, because they told us to go get a bunch of food because we might be, like, the stores might all shut down. And we all found out, and we just started crying and hugging, and it was so sad.
Yeah, but again, like, we had kind of talked about this, like, it was so heartbreaking, but I honestly, like, I wouldn't trade any of it, because, like, it really, like, things would be so different right now And I'm thankful for what ended up happening.
Mm-hmm.
Everything happens for a reason.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things I know, and it's just from my discussions with Coach Russell Brock, is I know that he's a man of faith, and I could only see him being an incredible motivator and encourager during this time. Would you say that's a pretty accurate statement?
Yeah. Yep. That man could have his entire world collapsing and he will stay calm through it all.
And it's so crazy because like the coaching staff, like they put way more time and effort into this program than even we do. So for them to see how heartbroken we were, like, I know it had to hurt them, mm-hmm. if not like significantly more, because they had been preparing for this for like years to come. So to even like think about that, and for them to just like stay like calm and supportive for us, it was pretty awesome to think about.
Well, so I mean, I've seen where you guys have come to and how you've made it through up until now, and you guys look great. But I do have to, I should have asked this question earlier, because, you know, obviously going into this pandemic, how did you two decide to play in tournaments together? Was that just kind of like, hey, we live together, let's play?
Yeah, actually, I'm thinking about this because I didn't even know how it came about. So the NCAA gave us a certain day, and after that day, you could like start playing in competitions again. And I think it was sometime in June, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we were going to play in this tournament, and then they were like, no, you can't. You can't play until this exact date.
Even a non-NCAA tournament? You have a limitation? I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, it was – I mean, everything was just so weird. So we were like, okay, so we can't play this weekend. And there was a tournament the next week, and we're like, oh, my gosh, we have to play. So we just signed up and went and played. Like it wasn't planned out. It wasn't like, let's play the entire summer together. It was just like, oh, there's a tournament you want to play? Sure, let's play. And then we went, and it was just like,
It was kind of what we talked about. Like, we just both like really love volleyball, love competing. So we were like, any tournament that's available, like, let's just go. Like, let's go have fun. Let's go compete. Nothing, like she said, nothing was like planned. Like we didn't, right after COVID, we're like, oh, hey, you want to like play volleyball like for the whole summer together? Like that did not happen.
I was still going out of the country like at this point. And it was just how everything happened is just really weird.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this then. Now with these, this upcoming season, before I go into this upcoming season, one of the notes that Kristen sent me was, you guys played in two tournaments in one day. How in the heck did you do that? And who was the mastermind?
She was like, hey, there's another tournament. And I was like, but aren't we already playing on Saturday? She's like, yeah, but it's Saturday and Sunday and we'll probably finish in the morning so then we can get there by the afternoon and play the night tournament on Sunday. She's like, do you want to play? And I was like, of course I want to play. That's never a question. I'm always going to say yes. So
Coach Brock, did he know beforehand that you'd be potentially overextending yourself in one weekend?
No.
Nope.
Well, now he does. So, well, I mean, you won everything. So, hey, more power to you two. You can say it's just extra training. Well, let's look to the future, because I know that there's so many good things in store for LSU and the Sandy Tigers. But let's look at the CCSA conference, that side of the nation. Who do you two see as some of the top teams coming out of the East to play for national championships?
I think obviously Florida State is for sure always up there. That's a big rivalry for us. So I mean, every year you know they're gonna have a great team, and it's gonna be a tough matchup just year after year. But I think the East, like, we're good for the East. We're making some strong teams. I mean, TCU has been constantly building. Mm-hmm. Who else we got? And all of the East teams, I think it's a battle. Like, the CCSA is really making a case for, like, one of the strongest conferences, which is awesome that we are a part of, and we get to compete against these teams, kind of like weekend after weekend, just once we get mm-hmm. into season, which is exciting, definitely, especially I love people representing the East. So it's awesome to see.
Jared, anything to add there?
Nope. Other than everybody's going to have some super teams this year, so that's going to be very interesting.
The super seniors and super graduate student teams?
Yeah, people that come back for 6 years like me.
Yeah. Well, you know, some of the teams that really made a mark in the at Gulf Shores, I guess that was 2019. I mean, Stetson coming out of there. You saw just incredible play from Florida Atlantic, Florida Gulf Coast University. South Carolina had some upsets early on. You know, it's amazing seeing how good teams are getting on your side of the continent. You get to see them regularly. So, you know, who else would be better? Who could be better at assessing what's coming out? So, now, how about this for your team? You're obviously going to be deep, but what's it going to be like for the Sandy Tigers in 2021? Lots of major change in the lineups, or is it going to be same faces, same places? What do you think?
I mean,
or no comment. I get that too.
I will just say I am so happy I am not the coaches that have to make the lineup. That's what I say to them almost every single week, because mm-hmm. it's just going to be tough. Good luck to them.
Yeah, it will be a dogfight as to like who is in the lineup, but it's also with COVID, like everyone has to be ready to play because one person could end up getting sick or something, and then we just need other people to step in. So it's going to be really tough to pick the lineup, but even once that's picked, like, you don't know who's going to be playing, and which I think is really fortunate for us. We are very deep. We are a big team. So just anyone could play at any point this season, which is exciting.
Well, I want to end by having you guys tell our listeners and viewers what is the best way to follow you two and LSU and what they're doing on the beach.
You say the best way to follow us?
Yeah, like, you know, Instagram or websites or, you know, so they can track what's going on. Because, you know, we have to rely on grassroots coverage for our sports. So.
Yeah. We're actually playing in the one of the AVP Next in Clearwater, Florida this weekend that I'll probably be Facebook Living. So if you want to follow along on Facebook Live, you can give me a follow.
Yeah. December 5th and 6th.
Yep.
I don't really post that much.
You can check stuff. Instagram at T-Clothes. I don't know what your Instagram
is. Well, hey, ladies, Kristen Taryn Cloth of LSU Beach Volleyball. Can't thank you enough for coming back on again to the Viral Volley Podcast. I always look forward to our conversations just because you're incredible people, great ambassadors for your program, and just wonderful people to chat with. And also watch on Facebook Live when you guys are playing.
Yeah,